Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, Tiff Nadell's jackets. I'll tell you what, it's taken me, I think, until now to recover from last weekend at Goodwood.
Oh God, I'm glad you said that. So I'm just drinking
wine. Were
you
bushed as well?
Yeah, I really was. It was that hot. I know I'm really tired because I can't keep my eyes open after about 9 p.m.
Yeah,
and that never happens to me unless I've got flu, usually. Yeah, it was a bit of that going on. It was busy,
yeah.
Wasn't it? It was very
yeah.
busy.
What a weekend though! That was all very, very agreeable.
I bloody loved it.
We sort of owe it to people to give them a Karun Shandok performance breakfast update, because
what have we had an update?
Well, do you remember the morning we recorded the podcast last week in the hotel at Goodwood?
And
the next morning, there was a development or just a sort of confirmation of what we suspected. Because if you recall, he came into breakfast after us and came over to say hi.
Yeah.
And we had a brief chat, and then he went and sat down. We continued eating our breakfasts. And then, I think you had your back to him, I had to attract your attention because
he was
leaving already, and it felt like he'd been in the room for about 2 minutes. And then one of the wait staff came over, and they appeared to be trying to clear away what seemed to be about 17 pieces of crockery from the table that he just vacated on the other side of the room.
But how did he get all of that food so quick?
I just don't know. It's a racing driver secret that we may never
Because in
know.
This world at the moment, I don't know if anybody's listening who's stayed in any hotels, but you can't have a buffet breakfast, which I love. You know, you can pick at your own speed and you can make those little decisions. You can't do that right now.
No.
You can't do it. You're at their beck and call.
Yeah, which, you know, you're sort of captive, aren't you? So you can't just nip back for a cheeky extra hash brown if you've decided it's all very sort of preordained. So
it is.
Yeah. But maybe it plays to the strengths of a man who treats the serving people in a hotel like pit crew.
Oh, it'd just be amazing. Can you imagine the endurance races as well that you could have? So you'd have to breakfast, lunch and dinner as quickly as possible. You have to finish everything and put your hand up. Then you have to make sure that everything's washed up and put away. And there's scrutineering and, you know, a refereeing situation. I just think it could be, and even, you know, toilet. You could do gents toilet drag racing. You know, you start on the, I think I said this last time, you start on the outside.
Yeah,
you clock in. As soon as you go over the threshold, you have to wash your hands for a mandatory amount of time. There's so much scope here. Oh, I know.
It's a hard sell to the TV companies that you presumably want to show this, the competitive pissing, but it's worth a go. I mean, let's be honest, James May once honestly pitched the BBC Pissed Olympics.
Pissed Olympics or Piss
Pissed
Olympics?
Olympics. No, Pissed Olympics, different thing. Yeah, it was normal athletics, including, quite troublingly, I think, you know, the javelin and stuff, but all of the contestants had to have had a skinful before they did it.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I thought it was quite a good idea, but apparently the BBC thought that they thought he was taking the piss, and when they realised that he wasn't, I think they thought he was quite odd, and the meeting was brought to a halt.
I remember pitching an idea in a meeting with Max Power called Michael Shite, and it would be a really bad Knight Rider sort of silly thing. I forgot what I'm saying. I've been drinking wine, sorry, on my own in a hotel room. Parody. We were going to use the Isuzu Piazza that we had as a bit of a sort of staff project car. We're going to wear a bad fake leather jacket, and we were going to have Michael Shite, and we were trying to think of things that he could do. And one of them, what I remember, in I wrote it on the whiteboard. It was shit faced on sheet ice, and I said, right, just find a really really dicey private road or airfield, have a skinful, and then just put the Isuzu Piazza down it and see what happens. Obviously in character, and the car has to talk to you. But when I say talk to you, it's just a walkie-talkie gaffer tape to the dashboard that your friend is talking through. It's not exactly car magic, is it?
Yeah. Or a speak and spell.
Yes, exactly. Something really, really downtrodden and B-side. But yeah, Michael Shite. Amazing that never came to fruition.
That's funny, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, in a piazza with a wonky flip-up light.
Now, before we... we already have sort of moved off the topic of Goodwood Speed Week that we were at last time. We did a podcast. Another update was that we finally got to catch up with Tiff after we'd recorded the last show.
I know where this is going.
He was on fine form, but... Yeah. But there was a particular revelation which bounced off something. I don't think you've ever mentioned this on here, but you have told me a long time ago, you told me that, and I remember this sort of from doing old Top Gear with him, that when he turned up on fifth gear shoots, he was always wearing, how did you describe it?
He always wore a Hugo Boss leather jacket that was so thin. Very, very lovely leather, but it was like a carpaccio of leather. You know, it's almost translucent. It's that thin. Very high quality. But constantly moaning about how cold it was. And it's like, well, this isn't news. We live in the UK.
Wearing a tissue-thin jacket.
It's like Hugo Boss does brown kitchen roll. That's highly lacquered, and then as a jacket. And he refused. I think he's slightly phobic of wearing practical coats. That's my. And because there was a bit of an ongoing joke, and I remember it was either Vicky or Jason when we were filming said, Tiff, it's going to get cold today. You might have to get the rally jacket out. And he was going, no, don't need the rally jacket. It's not that bad. And I was like, what is this? What's this rally jacket that you speak of? It turns out that in the boot of his car, at all times, he carries a jacket that he got, Skoda Racing Team jacket that he got from like a very old world rally. And it's just like, if I break down jacket. And he never really wears it. And there was one shoot in all... How many years have I worked with him? 14 years. There's one shoot I've seen him reach for it. It was Bruntingthorpe and it was horizontal rain. And it was... In fact, it was almost sleet. And we had to film underneath one of the static aircraft because it was that bad. And Tiff went, that's it. I'm getting the coat. And it was this really, like, scraggy, slightly sun-damaged rally jacket.
Sun-damaged?
Yeah, I think it's just been... I think it's been on the parcel show. I don't know what it's been in the boot of his estate, because he does like an estate. I just don't know. And he used to take the piss out of me, like, what are you doing with that big puffing jacket? I said, well, it's because we're on a barren airfield for the next 14 hours. And I end up getting frostbite. That was why, Tiff. And I've told you that story before about him insisting. I mean, this is the least eco thing. I will say Tiff's a wonderful man, but this is a true story. It was the last day of the last shoot of the series. We were at Rockingham doing team tests, and it was flipping freezing. It had snowed the night before, so it was thawing out. Tiff turns up naturally, just a very thin shirt and a leather jacket on, and before anyone said anything, he said, "My car's going to be running all day, heated seats on, heating at 30. Nobody touch it, nobody turn it off." And honestly, it's just brilliant. Just the sound man said, "Tiff, listen, I can hear your BMW idling in the background of all of our pieces to camera." And he went, "I'm not fucking moving it. I'm not turning it off." And as soon as he would do the piece to camera, he'd run into the car and go, "There we go, Johnny." And I opened the door to talk to him. And it was like someone had opened an oven. And it had, he goes, "I've got everything I need in here. I've got coffee and I've got Planet Rock and a heated seat." And that was it.
So he just had an on-site oven, essentially, to go and, or a sauna that he could just jump into.
He had a 5 series running all day on set.
When I was a student, I lived in a very, very cold flat because it had a lot of exterior walls and it was above a shop that had, like, a walk-in freezer because it had a butcher's section, which I think just transmitted cold into our flat.
It's the worst.
But I had, from a previous flat that had also been a bit cold, I'd bought one of those electric heaters.
Yeah.
And so, and my room was particularly cold.
Or was it a bar?
No, just an electric one. No oil filled. But it wasn't one of the fan ones. It was just one that got hot. You know what I mean? It was a cheapo one because we were a student. And so, because my room was especially cold, because the building was on a corner, and I had the corner room, so it had like two big exterior walls, and it was just chuffing, freezing. So one day I was like, screw it, I'm putting the heater on. Whacked the heater on, and then there was a knock on my door, and it was my flatmate, Duncan, going, hey, mate, how cold's your room? It's freezing in my room at the moment. It's like the first cold day of the year, you know, since he's been in there. And so I tentatively opened the door and he sort of visibly backed away at this jet of heat that hit him. And then he went, what are you doing in here? And I went, I've got a heater. And he was like, you could see him kind of going, hang on a fucking minute. This is our electricity bill going up going to hit the roof now. As it turns out, I didn't, because there was a mistake and the electricity bills always went to the shop and we never actually paid an electricity bill the whole time we lived there.
No way.
Yeah, there was a bit of a meter sniffle.
So you had it running all day. You were like is that the beginning scene of Die Hard 2 where the terrorist guy is doing naked yoga in front of the television, he's watching the news?
It was exactly
for some
like
reason I remember that. I wish I didn't, but I do. I'm not proud of it.
But going back to Tiff's jacket, when we saw Tiff at Goodwood, it was like he'd had a jacket epiphany, because wearing a Bosch branded warm jacket.
But it was actually shapeless as well. You might want to.
It was quite shapeless. It was a bit of a classic dad anorak, in truth, but with Bosch written on one side, which it turned out that he'd got many years ago after going to some winter ABS testing or something.
This is brilliant. I'd never seen that jacket before.
Well, it sounded like it had been in the back of a wardrobe for ages, and then he dug it out and he'd had like this jacket epiphany, like having worn the Carpaccio of leather for years and presumably having forgotten about this the sun-damaged Skoda rally jacket. He'd suddenly discovered that coats could be warm without being a Skoda rally jacket. Because when we were talking to him, he raved about that coat for like, it felt like about 10 minutes, and showing us all the pockets it had as well. Like
he was very proud.
Never worn a coat before.
It's almost like he had a sort of coat coming out to us. You know, like, I'm okay with big, practical, shapeless jackets that keep you warm. I'm okay with that. And everyone else is like, all right. But of all the places to see it, at the assembly area of the most iconic Goodwood classic race,
he was wearing it over the top of his racing overalls, wasn't he? Because he was on the second stint for the race of the weekend, TT.
I know.
Trophy.
I know why he did it.
Why?
Because it's like tire warmers before a race. It's
of course.
He was getting his torso all warm and sweaty, so agile, because the muscles and the shoulders would be nice and supple.
Yep.
But also maybe getting a bit of a bead on so that he loses a little bit of weight before he goes in the car.
Racing drivers, always one step ahead, aren't they?
Yeah, that's totally what it is. It was his equivalent of a tyre warmer. But it was a free jacket from an ABS event.
ABS testing event in Sweden. we said goodbye to Tiff because he went to go and give... I think he was off to give the driver who was in the car for the first stint his sort of
pearls of wisdom,
best wishes, pearls of pep talk, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then the next time we saw him, as we were hanging over the from the roof of the pit building, hanging over looking into the pit lane, and we saw his car come in, and then Tiff stepped out and almost got run over by his own car.
Oh yeah, so, he did, didn't he?
It's pretty extraordinary, and he did a sort of comedy dance out of the way. So it was as always, a total delight to see Tiff. There's one more. I won't bang on about Goodwood for the whole show because we sort of covered it a bit last weekend, but last show. Rather.
I genuinely don't know what I said last podcast. I was so deliriously tired.
It was a bit delirious, wasn't it? Someone, in fact, there's more than one person in the comments has accused us of heavy drinking before we recorded, and we didn't at all, did we? I don't know, you might have had a glass of wine.
I had a very small glass of wine, which is what, 100 mil?
Yeah.
150 mil.
So there was no drinking, it was just the pure giddiness of tiredness. The only thing I was going to bring up is also your, in fact, it was the same, it was the morning after we'd recorded that last podcast, so the same hotel breakfast situation where we already seen Caroon absolutely, apparently,
drag racing
breakfast. But then, as we left the room, you and me, who should be sitting there quietly having his breakfast, but
of course,
rallying legend Stig Blomqvist,
the OG Stig,
who we'd only been marvelling at what an amazingly good driver he is, because he'd won that other race in that massive Ford Falcon, hadn't he?
Yeah,
against much younger competition in much smaller and more agile cars.
Younger and current, and current touring car guys and endurance racers. Yeah, he hell of a wheel man.
Yeah, but then you, as we walked past, you went, "Morning, Stig. Well done on the race yesterday," which I thought was quite a cool thing to do because I couldn't do that. I don't know. Anyway, so that was good. But then we kept seeing him. When we got to the track, the rest of the morning, we kept seeing him.
Well, we did.
And this culminated in you collaring him and going, "That's the third time you've walked past me this morning," which he looked a little bit alarmed.
It sounded a slightly accusational. I didn't mean it to come out like that, if I'm honest.
But then you saved it with a really good question.
I actually can't remember what I said, Rich. Can you fill me in the words of Craig David?
Because you asked him. You went, "So you were amazing in the Falcon yesterday. I mean, how what is it that, you know, sort of suits your style about that car?" Well, words to that effect. Basically, you were asking him, "Why is he so good? How did he manage it?" Yeah, basically, without being rude, it was like, "How the hell did you win yesterday, old man?" And he said, "Because it moves around a lot, and so it's similar in a lot of its sort of body language on the road to a rally car." Because it shifts around a lot, and that suits his style.
I think he's most comfortable when it's not fully gripping.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he likes it up on its toes, like a Quattro on gravel.
It's a Galaxy, that's what he was racing, a Galaxy.
Oh, it was a Galaxy.
So even bigger than a Falcon. Even bigger.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to say, because Galaxies are bigger than Falcons, but that's just a...
What you mean? Real galaxies and real falcons, as in birds?
Yeah, there's quite a.
It's a quite
difference.
A dig. I mean, I'm bigger than a falcon.
Yeah, they're not that big, are they?
No, not really, Rich. No, not really.
So there we go. That's sort of that wraps up our recollections from Goodwood.
No,
my
I loved
recollections.
It.
You can't remember a damn thing, as it seems. But my recollections from the last day of Goodwood, which was after we'd recorded the last podcast.
The Stig thing was special because I've got a bit of history with Stig. Yeah,
I got a photo of you because I couldn't, after the accusation of accusing an old man of walking past you too many times. I couldn't. I was a bit embarrassed, so I just kept on walking. But then I've got a slightly stalky, long lens photo of you talking to Stig and him telling you about how the car moved around, but taken from really far away.
Oh yeah, you have, like on ultra zoom mobile phone picture.
Well, yeah, because I thought, oh, Johnny might want to remember this moment of him talking to Stig Blomqvist again, you know, another encounter with Stig, so I'll take a picture for him, but I didn't have the guts to come closer, so
he's a fantastic, he's sort of a man crush actually for me. I think he's brilliant.
He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, there's something ultra cool about him, which definitely goes back to the Quattro days for me. As the boy, you know.
In the last show, I also, in a fit of tired giddiness and not drinking, I gave out our email address, which we've never done before. Oh, shit, no, before that. Well, actually, these two things sort of dovetail.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about All Days and Onions.
Yes.
In the last show, the now defunct a short-lived British car maker of the very early 20th century.
Yeah, which people have been messaging me about all week.
Me too.
I've had loads of messages about All Days and Onions.
Well, this is what I was going to say. I would say a majority of the emails that I've now had from people who were listening to last week's show and wrote down the email address when I gave it out, I would say an awful lot of them are about All Days and Onions. And we'd sort of vaguely said, hey, we should have some All Days and Onions stickers made, and then people could put them on their cars, and then if we see one, we'll know that it's a podcast listener.
Yeah.
And this seemed like a tremendously good idea. There's a small problem. Although All Days and Onions doesn't technically exist, it does still belong to someone, and there is an All Days and Onions website.
Is there?
Yeah. I mean, hang on, I'll look it up.
I'm going to look it up now.
All Days, hang on. Here
All
we go.
Days and Onions website.
Oh, no, I've lost it. All Days. I've lost the bloody site. I should have prepared this in advance.
Yeah, you should.
So
it's okay, because I'm looking up too.
Usual professionalism.
Oh, yeah, alldaysandonions.co.uk. I mean, it's
there
catchy.
There you go. And it's good, and it does a little bit of you know, company history and what happened to them. And then it seems to be owned by someone called Whitehead Classics, who bill themselves as heritage brands. But then they very pointedly have a trademarked products gallery, as if to say, don't bother ripping us off because we're onto you. So I don't think we'll be doing All Days and Onions.
Well, we should know. We should have a word.
It feels like
them.
It belongs to somebody.
Well, do you know what I'd like? I'd love to use what the All Days and Onions logo, but with Smith and Sniffin. I think that would be wonderful.
Well.
Oh.
One of the emails I've had, which is from a chap in Australia, in Sydney, called Kevin O'Toole. Hi, Kevin. Kevin's email address suggests that he is in fact a designer.
Oh.
And this would be borne out by what he sent us, which is, he said, I had 5 minutes at work spare, so I've knocked up an All Days and Onions logo.
Get out.
Feel free to bin it. I wouldn't bin it because it's really good. Like, he's done it from scratch, and it's got an onion in the middle, and it says All Days and Onions around the side, and then a smaller letter at the bottom. It says Smith and Sniff. It's really good. Like, it's an excellent logo.
Oh, is that a worthy car sticker?
It would be great as a car sticker if we. I mean, yeah. Anyway, so thank you, Kevin. That was
that's amazing.
Excellent.
I've not seen it yet. Thank you.
Yeah, we've had quite a few emails. I was just gonna go. I mean, some people just. Gerard O'Connor, hi Gerard, says, can I buy a t-shirt or something? I'm running out of Sniff Petrol books, so I want to contribute to Johnny's Allegro folly. So there you go.
You can buy a car pervert t-shirt. There you go.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Because some of that money will go towards my family, but also some of it may go into a car fund. I feel like that's going to happen. Sorry, you've distracted me now because I'm reading about the backstory of All Days and Onions, and apparently they produced Enfield All Days series motorbikes.
Mm.
And then after World War II, with changing market requirements, to put it politely, All Days and Onions established itself as a market leader in the manufacture of centrifugal fans, expanding into the field of dust collecting and chemical engineering. And then in 1969, the company merged with a rival fan company called J.C. Peacock, forming All Days Peacock and Company. And in the 80s, the company expanded its factory in Weston-super-Mare in Somerset. Hang on. Are they a Somerset-based company?
Well, they became. I thought you were going to say All Days Peacock and Onions, which sounds sort of weirdly like some kind of thing you'd see outside a cafe, a luxury cafe. Can I get the peacock and onions? Yeah, of course you can.
Peacock,
we do it all day.
Peacock and onions. Look at this. 1908, All Days and Onions merged with the short-lived Enfield Auto Car Company. Hang on a minute.
Is this the same Enfield that would then... But no, it can't be. The Enfield that made your little electric car.
Mine was called the Enfield Automotive Company, which was affiliated with Enfield Motorcycles, actually. So maybe I thought that was the first time Enfield went into the car-making game, but it wasn't. They produced cars called the Enfield All Day until 1925. Well... put things inside me that I didn't want put into me. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Who knew, though? The oldest open such a can of All Days and Onions.
The oldest engineering business in Britain.
Mm.
Well, look, we could talk about All Days and also Onions all day, but we're not going to because people might not be interested.
No, we may have gone a bit too deep on pre-war cars. Not really our remit. I was going to
pre-all of the wars.
Someone here called Jamie has said, could you do a few blatant rip-offs / homages to old car badges, but that say Smith and Sniff instead? And also, he's asked for one that says 2.2 Prelude. Yeah, which is you have to watch one of our old videos.
I think that
to get
is
the
possible.
Backstory on that one. Yeah, that was quite a good slogan. Jamie also asks, if you had to leave Goodwood in a road-legal car that was racing and drive it 250 miles home, what would it be? Would you prioritise ear defence or cushion to save your back?
Ear defender or cushion. Okay, that's a good old... game, isn't it? That beats rock, paper, scissors, stone every time.
Yeah, I think I'd go ear defence and then sneakily nick Tiff's Bosch Swedish ABS testing anorak and sit on that for a bit of extra.
That's a great idea.
Cushioning.
I'd go ear defence and then steal something from someone's bag.
Or a cushion from the hotel. But I don't know. What was your road legal car? I mean, there were an awful lot of nice things there. I wouldn't take that mad Fiat Beast of Turin thing, which apparently the bloke does drive
on
to
the
and
street.
From things on the road, which is just bonkers. But did someone tell us that he sometimes drives it at night and he just gets some bike lights and attaches them to the front and back?
Yeah, he uses really bright racing bicycle LEDs.
Oh my god! So I imagine really sort of khaki light ones off a rally grifter or something, but
like 80s ones, which took D batteries.
Yes, he's always having to pull in for some more D batteries.
That's a really, really difficult question. There's a couple of the Cobras. I had a bit of a one called the Snake Express, which was a really cool car, green colour. Do you remember that?
Mm.
And it's almost like an avocado green. It's got the hard top on it, the Daytona hard top. And it sounded like Satan. I'd quite like to have a go in that. It'll keep you awake on the way home.
Yeah, not a relaxing drive home, but then I'm not sure that any of them would be. I was thinking maybe you'd just go all out and have one of those like Stig Blomqvist endorsed Galaxies. Because
Bet
you could leave it in one gear, couldn't you? You could just leave it in top.
Leave it in
and
fourth.
The engine would lug. Yeah. Even if you got stuck in traffic.
I know. What about Rowan Atkinson's Plymouth Barracuda? That would be quite entertaining with no soundproofing. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be good. Or just a Can-Am car and just put tray plates on it and just go, sorry, mate, wasn't expecting to drive it at dusk. I'll be home in a minute. Just let me go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nigel Saville asks, he says, we're all on tenterhooks about the situation with Johnny's tortoises. You left us up in the air quite a few weeks ago. Egg hatched. Any results from the clunking?
Oh, no. No, the egg is still in the incubator and we haven't got the heart to intervene, but I'm almost certain, unfortunately, that I don't think it's hatched. I don't think it's fertilised. Unfortunately, I've also got an added complexity of the female tortoise is dug down super deep in the garden. I can't actually find her, so I've got to go on a full reconnaissance mission this weekend because I think she's dug down because the temperatures got colder, which is why I found out she was lost because I brought the boy inside, Ken. But Shelby's still outside, and I'm desperately trying to find her. And I don't know whether I can use some sort of heartbeat monitoring device. You know, where they find people that have been trapped in a landslide. I was thinking of trying that, but I don't know where you borrow such equipment from. So I really want to find
local
her.
Fire station, maybe.
Actually, yeah, good shout. Fire station. Hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, good call.
Yeah,
good call. Sweet.
So I was going to read out some more emails, but I'm
still
looking for the ones that I'm sifting through the ones which are actually really nice, and I will reply to these at some point. But people just sending in praise, I don't want to read out praise because it makes it sound like a bloody
Steve Rich
show. Hi, Steve. Let me see.
Steve, I just want you to do a shout out here's a good one, actually. Wife. We've never argued. We've been married for 20 years. Can you play On the Wings of Love by Jeffrey? I've forgotten the guy's surname, but you know what I mean. On the wings of love.
Jenny in Tavistock says, Steve, I met my husband 40 years after we were first at school together. We never even particularly got on at school, but when we reunited at a reunion, we hit it off immediately, and now we've been 7 years happily married. Could you please play Territorial Pissings by Nirvana? James Walton says, he says, I'm an avid Smith & Sniff viewer, really enjoy this week's podcast. Love the show, Steve. sorry, I'm being sarcastic about people's praise. Thank you, James. It's very sweet of you to say so, and we do appreciate it. The interesting bit of James's email is I was talking to my parents about the All Days and Onions thing afterwards, and my mum said the name All Days and Onions sounded familiar. Turns out my great granddad used to work for All Days and Onions in the 50s and 60s after he finished working for Austin in Birmingham. They stopped making cars in about 1918 but carried on doing industrial engineering up until the late 60s. My grandma says they used to make a wide variety of things, from blacksmith's forges to those metal discs that some African tribes used to stretch their necks.
What?
No, that's, I mean, that's
really
incredible. Yeah.
What breadth of engineering prowess.
It really is, isn't it? They've got all bases covered there. I can't believe they're not still around.
It's not All Days and Onions, it's All Bloody Things.
All things
onions. Also
brackets,
onions.
Not real onions.
No, but we'd make statues of onions. No problem.
A metal onion.
Yes. That's amazing. I like that story.
There's a man called Louis Berlin. I think he's talking about Paris, so I'm going to do it with his name. With I assume it's a French accent, Louis Berlin. He says that a few episodes ago you mentioned how quickly cars decay in Paris. When my daughter was born, I needed a car to get to and from the hospital. Being a millennial urban petrolhead, I didn't own a car, so I rented a brand new A-Class from a new generation service I'd invested in, Virtuo. After 1 week of street parking and 10 miles per day of driving it, I got an invoice for €1,700 for all the cosmetic damage it had incurred.
1,700? Did you say a week's
after
worth?
After 1 week.
Oh, my.
But he's also got a theory why everything gets scuffed up in Paris. My theory is this: everything in the city is narrower, which means cars are more bunched up against each other. Add to this a slightly anti-rich streak in Parisians, a nice car will get keyed, abused immediately. This all leads to battered cars and people not investing in nicer cars, which in turn leads to people not respecting them. Good theory.
I think there's definitely an opening in the market for a kind of, I know we mention them almost every podcast, you know, like Singer, reimagine the 9/11. But if you imagine...
It's a little bell we should ring when we do this week's Singer mention.
Well, I feel like you could do Parisian car of the 80s, reimagined by, and then insert the name here. I don't know what they'd call themselves. And what it would be is shit off great big bull bars, front and rear. You know, like a drift car where they have really lightweight sacrificial bodywork hanging over like an exoskeleton, sort of.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. But I don't know what car it would be. Would it be like a first-gen Clio? Something very unassuming.
Yes. Oh, first-gen Clio,
first-gen Clio on really tall, billowy tyres, you know, 70 profile, 13s, 14s. And basically the whole car's just impossible to kill. I'd love it.
I won't keep...
Self-healing paint.
Self-healing or just self-damaging. It just gradually gets... It's designed to peel off. You come out in the morning as a new scuff and you go, oh, it's authentic. I'll just do one more email, which is just about a guy called Harry Kular, who says, on today's pod, Richard mentioned a seat height adjuster where the arm was telescopic. That's when we were talking about that. We'd seen one of those vintage racing cars with the fuel pump.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a telescopic seat height adjuster. I couldn't remember which cars had them. Harry says it was on 1990s Saab 900 and 9000 models.
Ah.
But I've had on Twitter, and I'm sorry if you did this on Twitter, I can't remember or find your names, but I'm just going to call you both Bob. But one Bob said that there was a Fiat's had it. And I think I remember that. And then another Bob said that they were on Peugeots as well. And I do also vaguely remember, in fact, I think one of my dad's Peugeots, 405 or 406, might have had it. So, yeah, the telescopic seat height adjuster was very big in the 90s.
High-level geekery.
It's high-level or low-level, whichever way you want to come at it.
Of course.
Anyway.
The telescopic one.
Thank you if you have emailed.
Looks like a riot stick, but it's just... Yeah. Policeman pulls you over and says, stop touching that weapon. It's like, it's not a weapon, it's my seat adjustment. And they end up just basically, if you don't stop it, we're going to open the car and batter you.
Anyway, if you have emailed in, and there are quite a few more that were just being very nice, which is always nice.
People have been really complimentary lately, and again, thank you so much for people who have listened to this. And also, if you're new to this podcast, it kind of is this random most of the time. We do straddle a line between talking utter nonsense and a little bit of cars, would you say? But we were quite hard car heavy last week.
Yeah, it's quite hard car heavy.
Okay, all right.
In a weird sort of way. Talking of cars, I was...
You don't say.
I wanted to mention that car that I messaged you about earlier on, which I saw around the corner this morning when I was out with the dog. It was a very battered Jaguar S-Type. Quite an early one.
Yeah.
With the khaki interior. And I was able to look inside and see that the driver's seat cushion had actually split open, the leather or the stitching between the side bit and the main arse cushion had split
Did
open.
You say arse cushion?
I couldn't. I was trying to think
squab.
Of what you
got. You call it the squab.
Yeah.
Squab.
Squab. Yeah. Anyway, it was a bit of a mess, but there were two things that were particularly notable about it, because it was a car that looked like it was down on its luck and rather sort of suggested that the driver might be the same. It had that tape at the top of the windscreen they put on when they've put a new windscreen in, which I've never understood. Why do they do that?
It's a good question. Is it like when you've had a tattoo and you have to put cellophane on your skin? God, it's the only thing I can think of.
Well,
is it like that? I don't know.
That lady who was doing the makeup for the on-screen people at Goodwood last weekend had a lot of tats, and she told us that she went for a new tattoo only a few weeks ago, and the tattoo artist had to wear one of those visor things and was about to start and went, "Oh, I'm sorry, I really can't see very well through this."
Are you sure you want me to take it off?
I will risk COVID rather than risking a shit tat because you can't see what you're doing. I don't understand the tape though on the windscreen, because it sort of looks like it's meant to just sort of hold the screen in place till the glue's dried, but it can't because it's just tape. It looks a bit...
A lot of the glue's UV activated now, I thought. Well.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah.
So why is the tape there? It just shows people you've recently had a new windscreen, but that's not really something to boast about.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's something we haven't realised.
Well, another thing influencers could start doing. Hi guys. So you won't believe what I've done today. I've had a new windscreen put in my car. Guys, just wanted to talk about my RS4. Should I have a new windscreen put in it for no reason at all? What colour tape should I have put on the top of my new windscreen when I have it put in? Anyway, this Jag had the tape that gives away a new screen. But then the other thing that I thought was almost like the piece de resistance of this rather down-at-heel car was in the back window. It had a Fathers for Justice sticker.
Oh, crumbs.
I know. And you just go, oh dear. Oh, there's...
Forlorn Jag.
Yeah, poor forlorn Jag, but also sort of poor forlorn owner, I felt like, as well. And, you know, I can't hear about Fathers for Justice without thinking about, like, there's been at least one case of a guy who's dressed up as Spider-Man and climbed up a tower crane or something to protest.
Oh, wasn't there someone on the roof of the Houses of Parliament or something?
Yeah, I think there was.
I think he had a bed sheet with Fathers for Justice on it.
Yeah. And
that's pretty daring.
I just imagined that someone coming back to this Jag and they're just dressed as Spider-Man, but it's shit. dad bod Spider-Man, you know, it's like the a visible bit of guts, like a sort of like a Terry's chocolate orange segment of guts is visible between trouser and top, because it was never designed for a slightly more dad bod kind of person inside it. I'm making myself feel sad just describing
this. Yeah, I was gonna say
now.
You are, yeah, you're making me feel sad now.
Also, this Jag was parked under a bridge, you know, it was really rainy, rainy this week. And it was raining when I was out, and the Jag was parked under a bridge, and I was a bit like, have they parked under a bridge because it's leaking?
Oh,
maybe the new screen is some attempt to stop it leaking.
Oh, I'd totally do that, no doubt. Mm. No doubt.
Well, maybe they're just waiting for the glue to set. It's a practical thing. Yeah, don't get the car wet when the screen glue is dry. I don't know. There's whole sorts of questions.
I was going to say you've overthought
very,
this.
I know,
it's just a ghetto S type.
I know, but the details haunted me. Well, how did the screen get broken for one thing?
I actually quite like those S-types, but anyway, the artist formerly known as a Lincoln, or whatever it was based on, I do think it's okay. It's actually okay.
Yeah, they were all right. Better, didn't they? The later they are, the better they are.
Yeah, I'd be down with, like, maybe building a proper hell-raising version. There was something I wanted to say on this week's podcast, and I've completely forgotten what it was, and it was profound. I'm really annoyed with myself.
I have something I will keep meaning to bring up with you, which is how much you've ruined that song for me, the Whitney Houston cover of Steve Winwood's High Enough. Since the other week, you told me that you your interpretation of it, and I think that's a really good track, and it's on the radio a lot still.
It is.
And every time it comes on now, all I can hear is your version.
Give me a high ab love. As yes. In, well, we all know the Banger Raisers' favourite, any lorry that delivers heavy goods has a high ab crane on the back. It's a company name, but people just refer to them as high abs. And
they're very much in the sort of Hoover category, aren't they?
They are, the high
where
ab.
Where they've become a generic.
Yeah, because people just said, oh, just high ab that off the back and we'll be done there and we can sort that out.
You know, as well, Hiab is, they're called Hydrauliska Industri AB. The AB bit just comes from the Swedish.
Is it Swedish?
Yeah, they're Swedish. And AB is just like, I think it's like, is it PL, the equivalent of PLC or limited? I can't remember.
Probably
Saab was the same.
Yes. And Germany does the GmbH, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Hiab, it's bring me a Hiab, comma,
yeah,
love.
Bring me a Hiab love. And then because then you went into this massive amount of detail when you told me this thing, which now again I can't get out of my head about how imagining sort of Whitney Houston as this rather brassy woman who runs a breaker's yard.
Yeah, or a hire business, you know, a heavy plant hire. She's well into it.
Hey, bring me a Hiab love.
And yeah,
she's got a tab on the go. And if memory serves, when you expanded this theory to me a few weeks ago, you went, she's like, she'll go to work wearing a sort of boob tube, and she's not embarrassed when one of her nips pops out while she's shouting at somebody on the phone.
She just folds it back in. Yeah.
Bring me a Hiab, love.
Yeah, yeah. It's bring us a Hiab, love.
Someone comes in, and like the rather sad Spider-Man dad comes in with the S-type, and it's completely fucked, and he's just going to scrap it. And once he's gone, and they've given him cash to go away, then she's
60
like,
quid.
Hey, bring me a Hiab, love. And they're gonna take the engine out because they reckon they could probably.
Yeah, they'll claw
flog
the
engine
V6. Out. Yeah, V6 will go again. That'll be 100 quid. Yeah, she's well into it. She was, the late Whitney, well into those.
She was well into what? Working in a scrappy?
No, well into the portable hydraulic crane on the back of trucks.
Oh, yeah. I see. By the way, AB, on the end of a Swedish company's name, is Aktiebolag. I apologise if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Which means stock company, which is the equivalent of limited company. So
I kind of knew that, yeah.
Sorry, I just thought I'd...
I did. No, I didn't. I had no idea at all.
So Hydrauliska Industri AB is Hiab, the popular hydraulic crane people who have become a... that's going to annoy me now. What's
pop hit sensation?
Yeah, no, but what I mean is, you know, there's like when I'm looking this up as I speak, when a company or a product name just becomes the generic for a product like Biro or Hoover.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do,
and there's
yeah.
a word.
Well, Hoover's...
And that word is... I can't find it. There's a...
Bring me a high up, love. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Bring me a high up, love, because there's an MOT failure vector. It needs picking up by its roof. Da-da-da-da-da. There's no salvageable parts because they're dog mud. Yes. they don't even remove the light clusters. It's like, no fucker's going to want that. Just pick it up, bin it, bail it. Mate. By the time I've rolled that cigarette, I want that car gone.
Generalised trademark seems to be the... I'm sure there's another thing, but anyway.
Generalised trademarks.
Generalised trademark.
House hell's name.
Yes. Kleenex would be another one in the US. They really need tissue.
Yes.
Tissues are... And the Porter Cabin. Porter Cabin company very aggressively tries to stop you referring to non-Porter Cabin products as Porter Cabins.
Is that true?
And yeah, and woe betide you if you do it on telly because you'll get a stiff letter from them getting all snotty about it. Don't ask me how I know, I just know.
I was going to say, so, it sounds suspiciously like you might speak from experience, Richard.
Yeah, you know, just this is all part of the rough and tumble of... making up.
Well, next we're going to have Hiab on the phone, aren't we? Again, so we are not connected with Whitney Houston or Stevie Wonder
whatsoever. We just wish to disassociate ourselves. It's a well-known fact that Whitney Houston's scrapyard actually used different products for us. We can start to bring this slowly into land. I think we've read out some emails and we've addressed the issue of Tiffany Dell's jacket collection. So
is there another, it's not a collection, is it? It's two.
Well, no, it's not really two. Three. Sun damaged Skoda rally jacket for break glass in emergency situations.
Yes.
Carpaccio of leather for literally everything else. And then newly discovered Bosch ABS testing memorial jacket.
Off of when? To be rolled out. Early 2000s, late 90s.
Yeah, recent rediscovery used to warm up the joints ahead of some aggressive motorsport driving in a historic race. And that is the sum total of the Needell jacket collection.
Absolutely love it.
That's all he needs, though, isn't it, I suppose?
That's completely all he needs. Oh, by the way, I was just walking out of a 24-hour Tesco last night, which is next to the hotel room that I'm recording this in, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I put my car on charge, and I heard this amazing... I was on the phone, actually. I was phoning a friend while I was driving, walking back. I heard this amazing V8. It was like one of the best sounding V8s I've ever heard. And I was looking around because it was dark. Couldn't really tell what it was. Mm. What was it?
Amazing V8.
It just sounded fantastic. Like really good.
Was it sort of... Did it sound wet and sloppy like a US V8? Or was
no,
it sort of... Was
no,
it racy? Was it racier
was,
V8?
It was tight and punchy.
Tight and punchy? Ooh,
yeah,
I'm going to
yeah.
say... But obviously quite a lot of bass, I'm guessing, V8s. Generally, or was it?
Yes, yeah, but it, like you said, it wasn't wet and sloppy.
Okay, so
wasn't
I'm
like
going to say
the pretend farting effect with a wet hand under an armpit, not like that.
Classic. God, I haven't done that for years. I might.
Yeah,
no,
I did. I taught my kids how to do it last year. My wife still hasn't forgiven me.
I'm going to say, was it something just sort of like where you would like, was it like a Lexus GS 450 or something?
Well,
500, whatever it would have been.
It was a car I definitely didn't expect, and it was a first gen BMW X5 with I think half of
what?
The exhaust missing because I went and had quite a look round it when the owner walked away. I think it had just. Some of the exhaust has corroded and fallen off, but it sounded amazing. So what would have been 4.4?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it sounded amazing.
4.6, yeah.
It sounded amazing.
Well, still an obnoxiously horrible car, but yeah, fair play if it sounds nice. Have you heard? You know, there's a big thing at the moment with Toyota hybrids, particularly having their catalytic converters nicked. Because I think for some reason the Prius and others, there's something about
there's
them
more
makes
precious
the cat
metal in them.
Really easy to steal, and it happens to other cars, I gather. But it's like if you're going to do a smash and grab, it's like it happened as a retail park near me, and apparently they were like cat theft gangs were doing it in broad daylight. They just pull up, someone would slide underneath a Prius, and off cat gone.
Do you call these people cat burglars? Sorry, so obvious. Just had to. So sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Have you heard a Toyota hybrid that's had its cat nicked going down the road? Because it's really weird, because it sounds incredibly fruity.
Does it?
But sort of like a banger racer. Yeah, but because the petrol engine shuttles in and out, because it's a hybrid, it's weird, and it's on a CVT, or faux CVT, isn't it, in those? So it's like you get this kind of...
Oh, yeah, it just clips it off and then brings it back in again.
Yeah.
Bloody so...
That's very really strange.
I quite like that impression. Can you do it again?
So you look around, you're like, what the hell's making that noise? And it stopped. It's like an interesting sounding car, but it's hiding from you. And then finally you figure out, oh, it's just that Prius over there.
It's a Prius that just keeps...
cat and robbed. Anyway... let's just wrap this up by saying, as ever, thank you for listening. Please do like, subscribe, leave us a comment, preferably a nice one, but you know, it's up to you.
Or a question.
A question, yeah, we do occasionally make a ham-fisted attempt to answer your questions and then forget, but we'll do our best at some point. And you can email in, although I'm not going to give you the address again, because it's admin. I'll forget to. If I get too many, I won't reply to them. Well, it's just because I feel like I should reply. And I, you know, I've already got quite a load, and I'm, you know, I'm a busy man. But like and subscribe and write, and then... write again and then send us some dog shit through the post because we haven't replied to your emails. But wrapping things up, I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. Lots of excellent stuff on there. If you want to see a insanely powerful Aston Martin and also a DBS Superleggera, that is there for your viewing pleasure right now. Two, I still have a book out. It's called The Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia by Sniff Petrol. It's available at Glaslevelet through Amazon. And three, the German father... I'll do that again because I burped as I was speaking.
Did you?
Yeah. I
just thought the phone dropped out for a bit.
No, I just got ambushed by a burp. Three, German pharmaceutical firm Bayer, used to own the trademark to heroin and gave it up as part of the Treaty of Versailles after Germany was defeated in the First World War.
Really?
They also owned aspirin as a trademark and had to give that up.
They owned MDMA as well. They had the recipe for MDMA, the original ecstasy,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-World War II.
Mm, I know.
But then we can't talk about recreational drugs now because I don't have any experience of them, so it's not even a conversational piece.
You're not banging on some heroin in your hotel this tonight.
No, no, I'm not.
Okay, well, you could always call room service, see what they've got.
Yeah, it is actually.
Anyway.
Six six three four, I think it is for room service. Yeah,
what?
6634.
Six,
yeah, it's not zero
room
or
service.
Nine.
It's complicated.
Or...
What is going on?
It is. It's 6634. What's that all
That's
about?
That's just stupid. Maybe they don't want to be bothered. All right. Anyway, well, this has been a bracing canter through the windmills of the mind, as always. But thank you for listening, and we will do this all again same time next week. Until then, thank you ever so much. Goodbye.
Thank you, and goodbye. I'm drinking wine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.